Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I'm joined by this young man from Australia today. You see him live on the air. Daniel Seckham, you're still on the planet, and you look like you're doing all right, brother. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm still kicking. It's 1 a.m., but I'm doing better than expected.
So did you guys have a forward time change already?
Yeah, we're no longer in. We're now in daylight savings.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, so that means now you guys go off daylight savings from the 1st of November. Is that correct?
It may be. You're the only one that would know that. I don't know that. I just know when it's dark at 5 o'clock, it's not good. Anyways, man, it's so good to be with you. How are you doing? How's your family doing?
Family's going great. Yeah, very blessed. Doing a whole bunch of different Bible studies lately. You know, because of COVID, I can't travel anywhere. But doing a local Bible study, which is going fantastic. Doing an online Bible study, which we do every my Friday morning. Mm-hmm. But in the US, it's Thursday evening. That's been going really well, and God's just been opening doors. In fact, I'm going to be speaking at at the first CIRA conference, at CIRA, which is a ministry headed up by Al Fadi. Al Fadi is a former Saudi national. He's now he was a Muslim. He became a Christian while he was doing his degree in engineering while he was in the U.S. And an incredible testimony. In fact, his testimony, you can actually find his testimony on CBN. CBN.com did his testimony. But now his ministry is just reaching all over the world. It's and so he's starting launching his very first conference in November. I can't give you the exact dates, but if you go to CIRA or go to Al Fadi's webpage, you can find it. But there are two parts to the conference. The first part of the conference is the apologetic side in helping to equip Christians enriching Muslims with the gospel. So they've got Dr. Jay Smith, who will be speaking at a session. Dr. David Wood will be speaking as well, as long as Al Fadi himself, and as well as Alex, I can never pronounce his surname, but he's a Frenchman, but he's brilliant as well. And then there's the second part of the conference is to do with Islam and how it kind of how it crosses into eschatology. And so Joel Richardson will be speaking, as well as my friends Christopher Manti and Chad Harvey and myself. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, very good lineup. And you know what's amazing about what you're talking about? We haven't talked in 2 weeks. I wanted to get directly into Islam today. I felt last night we were at a Bible study. We were teaching out of the book of Revelation. And to me, it becomes apparently clear that in the last days, Islam, the Islamic reality, not of the saved Muslims, but the unsaved Muslims who are going to be moved by the spirit of Allah, the spirit of Muhammad, the spirit of the Quran or the Hadith and all these different things, they play a major part in the end times. From your perspective, is that correct?
Yeah, they do. They do. A bunch of different people who also study eschatology may differ from us. They may have a different bent. But we believe that a very strong case can be made that Islam will play a very central role in regard to the end times, and especially when you see with the speed in which Islam is spreading all over the world. So currently, Christianity is the largest religion in the world. But it's not the fastest growing religion in the world. The fastest growing religion in the world is actually Islam.
Wow.
And within the next few years, Islam is actually predicted to overtake Christianity as the largest religion in the world. So it's growing so fast because of a number of different reasons. Islam is becoming very, very attractive in the West for a bunch of different reasons. Part of the reason is because Christianity is getting such a bad rap and Islam is becoming very, very attractive. It's so funny. You know, you see people like Sinead O'Connor and some of these other liberals and leftists and progressives that are embracing Islam, thinking that it's the new hip trendy thing to do. However, unfortunately, once they get themselves into it, they realize that they've made a mistake and try to get themselves back out of it as quickly as they possibly can, as Janet Jackson learned the hard way. Mm. So it's I think many liberals actually get quite a shock when they discover that the religion that they have been promoting and championing for so long really isn't the tolerant religion that they thought it was.
Absolutely, it's not. And we do learn that. And it's going now. Yeah. I find that amazing. Real quick, I was asked on the chat room if your volume could be turned up. I think on my end, I've done everything. So I don't know on your end if you can or not turn up your volume, but we'll take a peek at that. So how is it possible with the silence of Islam? You've already explained to us in programs past why Islam has been so silent, because they're salivating over what's happening within our own nation. Why get involved when Antifa, BLM, and all these other groups are going to, you know, bring this kind of chaos and confusion? But how is it possible that, you know, we're hearing about is Muslims converting to Christianity, but we're not hearing about the fastest growing religion in the world, Islam? That's happening right beneath our noses, and we're just not seeing it.
By the way, I just turned up my microphone, so hopefully that people can pick that up a little bit more.
Okay, I'm sure
that's cool. So just if I could get some feedback on that, that'd be great. Yeah, look, Islam's not going away. In fact, you might remember a week ago there was a horrific terror incident in Paris where there was an Islamist that beheaded a teacher. And the reason why he beheaded the teacher was because the teacher was trying to talk to the students about freedom of speech and the importance of freedom of speech, and even having the freedom and the liberty to talk about sensitive topics without fear of, gosh, so ironic, without any fear of repercussions. But there were a few Muslim students that were a part of that class, and one of the students obviously went home and told their relative or their parent or whatever, and that person got extremely irate, came to the school after school and asked the students and said, who was the one that said that? Who was the teacher? Point the teacher out to me. And so they pointed the teacher out to him, and he went straight after that teacher and pulled out a knife, and you know the rest of the story. So just a horrific incident, which only underscores the fact that, Bridget Gabriel said that within every Islamic community, 20% of that Islamic community are made up of radicals. 20%.
It's huge.
20%. Now, that's interesting because, you know about the Pareto principle, that 20% do the, I think it's 20% of the people do 80% of all the work or something along that principle.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but but it's true. Within Islam, it's 20% of the people within Islam are the most devout. Now, this is what people need to understand. See, you hear the term radical Islam a lot, radical, and it is completely inaccurate to say that because they're not radical.
That's right.
They are simply being
Muslim.
Devout.
That's it.
Yeah. Exactly, they being devout, and here's the really strange irony, and the irony is that when a Christian becomes devout, he exhibits the fruit of the Spirit. You know, what's the fruit of the Spirit? For the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All of those attributes become more and more apparent when the Christian is walking in the Spirit. And they're walking in the love of God, and they're loving their neighbor and sharing the gospel with them. That's what happens when a Christian becomes devout. However, when a Muslim becomes devout, they are following the example of Muhammad. They're following the example of Muhammad. Now, I believe it is there are 91 verses in the Quran. 91 verses in the Quran. That say that the Muslim must follow the perfect and the perfect example of Muhammad. They must follow his perfect example. And in other words, they are to emulate their prophet, because Muhammad is the ultimate Muslim. He is the perfect example of a Muslim.
Just like we are to follow Christ.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So if they want to be a good Muslim, they need to study Muhammad and to emulate his life and to become just like Muhammad in every possible way.
Hmm.
And this is why many of the Muslims actually, they shave here, but they grow their beard around here. That's because it's legend says that Muhammad never always shaved his top lip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why many of the jihadis look like that. The other reason is, even the way that they go to the toilet, they are copying the how Muhammad went to go to the toilet. Like even minute things, which is interesting, but it's also terrifying because Muhammad was a bloodthirsty, cold killer, killing. He was a murderer. He was a murderer. Not only did he did that, but he tortured, he molested, he raped. I mean, he was an evil, evil man. And the fact that, and when people emulate this man, they become evil themselves. And this is why I really hope that, look, this might be controversial, but listen, this is the truth. And I will never bow to political correctness and never try to water it down. But the reality is that we want Muslims to be nominal. We want them to be nominal. We don't want them to be devout, because the moment they become devout, we're in trouble, and our communities are in trouble. And so we want them to be nominal. And it sounds crazy. We want them to be backslidden Muslims. We want them to be
right.
Cultural Muslims.
Right.
We want them to be cultural Muslims. Not just because we want them to be less problematic, but also because we want them to be more into a position in which we can share the gospel with them.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
We want them to be in a position in which we can share the gospel with them. And so, and see, the thing is because the more devout they are, the more that they will not have anything to do with the kufa, with the infidel. Mm. They won't have anything to do with us because, you know, look, you know, we are filthy, we're dirty. They won't have anything to do with us. In fact, you know, within the Quran says that Muslims are the best of all people. They are the best. In other words, they are at a completely different class. Whereas the kufa, we're way down here. You know, we're,
That's why they got along
dirty.
So well, yeah, with Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, that's right. Because, that's right. Yeah. But the moment they become more cultural, nominal. The moment they become more nominal, they are much more approachable, much more friendly, and much more open to what you have to say. And so that's what we want. That's what we want.
So, Daniel, it's we take the principle that the end is revealed from the beginning. And mm-hmm. we go back and we know who persecuted Israel first, or who persecuted Isaac was Ishmael. We know that Ishmael is a wild man whose hand is against every man's hand and every man's hand is against him. And we're trying to tame a wild man. And that's never going to happen because God literally spoke into his DNA for a purpose, because God knows the beginning and the end of all things. So the wild man is on the loose. And he's waiting because they're the masters of chess. That's where chess was created. And they have this ability to think satanically. And yet God allows that to happen to bring them as a source of judgment upon a people or a nation. Is this kind of moving in the basic direction of maybe where things are going? Do you see Islam as a major world power that the wild man at some point, the beast, will be utilized to bring global consternation?
Yeah, I do, mainly because I look at the influence that Islam has within the United Nations. So Islam has massive disproportional influence over the United Nations. And this is all thanks to the fact of the largest power bloc within the United Nations, and that's called the OIC, or the Organization of Islamic Conference. So they have massive influence on the global body. And that includes of all the other sub branches, which also includes the even over the World Health Organization. So even after, so even all the other intergovernmental panel on climate change as well. All of these different things, all these different causes. And of course, you also have the leftist power bloc. There's the communist power bloc, the socialist power bloc within the United Nations as well. And the thing is that the communist power bloc and the Islamist power bloc, they work together, and they work together two countries in particular. You can take a wild guess who those two countries are. Israel is number one, and the United States. They work together against the US, and they work together against Israel. And I think that's pretty interesting. Within Islam, Islam has the teaching where they have the big Satan, which represents the America, and little Satan, which represents Israel. So they have a very strong hatred, first of all, Israel, but in particularly America, because America is the one who stands up for Israel. America is the one who shields Israel. America is the one who finances Israel and provides military hardware for Israel. So that's why they hate America. That's why they hate you guys, because in order for them to get to Israel, which is what they ultimately want to do, they have to remove America.
Amen. All right, Daniel. Okay, so today, Islam is not a far gone reality. It is something that you see the Bible eschatologically says is going to pounce in the last days. Now, I'm getting a lot of feedback is what I'm being told right now, so that's I'm a bit trying to get this thing back to normal again. So let's see. Why is that happening? Test, test, 1, 2. Is that any better? Can you hear an echo, Daniel?
I did, but I don't now.
You don't hear it now?
You don't hear it now?
No.
I just hear it in my own ears. Okay. All right, so...
You're
again,
hearing voices.
Yeah, I'm hearing voices in my head. That's right. And then they're all telling me. It's getting scary.
It's all right. It's all right. I won't tell anyone. Just don't bring it out in public.
Don't tell anybody what you're thinking or what I'm hearing. The social dilemma. All right, so this is very real, even though I'm hearing all kinds of stuff in my head right now. Anyways, I don't know why. Eschatologically, biblically, end times, last days, Israel, Islam, all these different things. The reality is that there is going to be an uprising of this Islamic beast, as some people have called it. I think Joel Richardson wrote the book, The Islamic Beast. And so this is coming around. And I, for some reason today, after all of our conversations and this being a silent issue, it's coming back. I suspect that we're probably going to begin to see the terror card played again, because the woman who rides the beast is one who steers it. How do you kind of put that together?
Oh, it's when you look at Revelation 17, you see a woman who is inebriated. She's drunk, completely besotted, completely, what's the word I'm looking for? Blind with madness. She is drunk riding on this beast, and she's completely oblivious to the fact that this beast is going to turn on her and kill her. So this is exactly how I see the West today. The West is drunk. The West is completely inebriated. The West has gone completely mad. In fact, that's exactly what you read in Jeremiah chapter 51, that the West is, you know, it says that Babylon was a gold cup in the Lord's hands. And let's see if I can quickly find it. But yeah, I mean, that's, it just fits. It absolutely just fits when you look at it in that way. And here it is here. It says, Babylon was a gold cup in the Lord's hand. She made the whole earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. Therefore, they have now gone mad. Right?
Yeah.
That's so true. Think about that. Think about the madness that we are witnessing happening all over the world right now. Think about the ridiculous, inconceivable madness where people are saying that men can have babies, where they say that, women can become men, and you have to have all these pronouns. And listen, you need to refer to me as these pronouns. It's just utter madness, utter lunacy, right? All this is lunacy. Where did all this come from, and where did it stem from?
And the greater lunacy, just real quick, the greater lunacy is that the public has accepted this and tolerated it and been silent.
Oh, yeah.
Where in times past, it would have never been acceptable.
That's right. That's right. I mean, if you go back 20 years ago and to say this is what, you know, would be pushed in society, this is what would be accepted in society, you would have laughed. You would have laughed. Well, I don't know if you would have laughed or whether you would have cried.
Yeah.
But the reality is you would never have believed it, because it's utter ridiculous. It's utter madness. And this is the society that we are living in right now. And so... who, if you could ever actually say that, speak of an entity that spreaded this madness around the world, you know, and I often think about that. Now, remember, the woman that we see in Revelation 17, this wasn't of a particular, this wasn't represented of a particular nation overnight. This didn't happen. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is that this woman has been transferred to different civilizations and different nations. You notice that when you read in Zechariah, you see the woman in the basket. Mm-hmm. The woman in the basket. And what does Zechariah say? The woman represented, and the woman was carried in this basket by two stalks, and that carried the woman off somewhere. And they said, where is it going? And they said, Babylonia, to Babylonia. Now, keep in mind that Zechariah is a post-exilic prophet, right? So this has happened after, he prophesied after the exile. So Babylonia. Now, obviously not Babylon literally in Mesopotamia per se. This is talking about the daughter of Babylon, and this is what the imagery that we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51. In fact, if you want to understand Revelation 17 and 18, you need to understand Jeremiah 50 and 51 because it's hand in glove. It's hand in glove. So anyway, this woman travels about, and I believe that the woman, this prostitute, this woman of sin, this woman who represented wickedness, travels about in the sense that I reckon that she was represented there in Rome for a period of time. And remember that Peter, when he wrote in his letter, I think it might have been his second letter, but he said, "Greetings from here in Babylon." Greetings from Babylon. Isn't that interesting?
That's correct.
Peter never went to literal Babylon. He never went to Mesopotamia. He never went there, right? What did he mean when he said greetings from Babylon? Because he understood Rome at that particular time to represent Babylon. That was his assessment of that. And he's not the only one. There are other writers at that particular time who had that particular assessment of Rome as being Babylon. But again, that just underscores to help you to understand the concept of the woman in the basket, because it travels from time to time, from civilization to civilization. When civilizations give themselves over, when they give themselves over to immorality and debauchery, I mean, it's just like what you read in Romans 1, where in Romans 1, it's because of the worshipping of created things, because of the suppression of truth, therefore God gave them over, and they to do that which ought not to be done, and to pursue the most depraved sexual acts and perversions and the abominations of the earth. So, but I believe that the woman has transferred from Rome. After Rome fell, it's like the torch gets carried to somewhere else. And I believe that the woman who represents Mystery Babylon is, in fact, the more I think about it and the more I examine scripture, I think there's a very strong case to be made that the United States, now with her influence, could very well make up that identity, especially when you look at the influence that America has had upon the rest of the world, including my own country, The influence that America has over my own country is unparalleled. I mean, just even when you turn the TV on, it's more likely an American TV program. We probably have about, on any given day, we probably have about maybe five Australian produced shows, and every other show is American.
Wow.
Okay. So whatever trends go on in America, Australia follows, right? So you might remember when the American football players begin to take the knee. Okay. So it wasn't much that long after that, when here in Australia, Australians were taking the knee, all right? It's just like pathetic, but that's what they were doing. They refused to sing the Australian national anthem, okay? So another thing too, when they were tearing down statues over there in America, they were doing the same thing here in Australia. They were tearing down statues of Captain Cook and all that stuff. So the sway that America has cannot be underestimated. And I think one of the reasons why many Americans don't see themselves as Mystery Babylon is because they are so underwhelmed with their own significance in the world. Not just their own significance in the world, but significance in all of world history, which needs to be underscored. America is the greatest nation that has ever existed in the history of the world, right?
Okay.
And it's the most powerful nation that has ever existed in the history of the world. What is interesting is that in Jeremiah chapter 15:51, it refers to the daughter of Babylon as the hammer of the earth, as the hammer of the earth. Who is the hammer of the earth right now?
The U.S.
It's the United States. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They are the hammer of the earth. You know, China is trying to challenge that right now. But if war were to break out tomorrow between China and the United States, give it probably about 4 months, you know, and America will have the upper hand, if not with it, sooner than that. America will get the upper hand. So there's no question about that. So again, many Americans don't pick up on this because they live in America. They eat, sleep, and breathe America. You know, if you were to ask someone what water is like, you don't ask a fish. Right?
Okay.
You know, because fish, they swim in it. They live it. You know, they're not going to be able to tell you. You know, you've heard of the term, you know, you can't see the forest through the trees. And that's exactly as it can be applied to many Americans today. They can't see the forest through the trees. They don't understand the significance of their own country in the world today, but also throughout all of human history. America is the greatest nation that has ever existed on the face of the earth. Now, three giveaways in regard to the identity, and these are the three names that are written on the woman's forehead in Revelation 17. So there's three names. The first one is Mystery Babylon. Right. Now, we've already unpacked a bit of that in regard to talking about Babylon. Now, let's talk about Babylon for a minute, right? So Babylon was a melting pot. Babylon really initially started out as being their own people with a nation that was based on blood and soil, but that changed. And before you knew it, Babylon became a nation that in-housed many nations, okay, and many different peoples groups. And the United States is a nation that is not based on blood and soil as many other nations are based upon that, right? So Japan is based on blood and soil, you know, Germany, and that's what Hitler was so passionate about with his doctrine of Nazism. But that was all about blood and soil, but not so with America. America was all based upon an idea, right? It was all based upon the idea that you find that in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, and it was all about based on the ideals of individual liberty, and that anyone can come as long as they adopt our values. If you adopt our values, then you become an American, right? And that was unheard of. And that's interesting because that meant that people from all over the world could come to America and could become Americans, okay? However, if you were an American, if you were to go and live in Japan, you would not fully be accepted as Japanese. In fact, you would not even be able to take on the identity as being Japanese. However, it's different if you go to America. And that's very similar in the sense of what went on in the Babylonian Empire. And that's why it's interesting because when Babylon actually came under Persian rule, and I believe it was Darius was the one who was hedging his bets with all the different gods of all the different ethnic groups that represented within Babylon. And so that's why, you know the story, you know, he asked Nehemiah, and Nehemiah said, you know, we have, you know, and he said, go back to your land and build a temple and sacrifice to your God on my behalf. So America, Mystery Babylon the Great. So mystery is the Greek word that it is concealed and then at an appointed time that it will be revealed. Babylon the Great, so it'll be like Babylon the Great. In other words, it's going to be a Babylon of all Babylons. It's going to be the ultimate example of Babylon. It's going to be Babylon on steroids. It's going to be the most pagan empire out of all pagan empires that has ever appeared on the face of the earth.
So, Daniel.
Okay? Yeah.
All right, let me just throw this out there. Do you believe that the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, views himself as the leader of Babylon today? Do you think he sees it that way? And is he, from what you're saying, the leader of Babylon? Is he a Nebuchadnezzar, a modern-day leader of Babylon? Because everybody in the church, or not everybody, but so many people said that he was Cyrus. So
Cyrus,
so many different ideas about it. Go ahead and speak into that.
Look, no, listen, I disagree with that. I believe that General Donald J. Trump is Donald J. Trump. I don't believe he is a so-called such and such. I think Donald J. Trump is his own man that will stand apart as himself in all of history. and history will look back at him as Donald Trump and not as to be likened with anyone particular else. So I think Donald Trump, I do believe, when you look at the amount of effort all over the world in trying to remove him, keep in mind, you remove Trump and you remove basically the once Trump is gone, I believe it'll be very difficult for there to be a pathway for another Republican president within the same Reagan-esque Trump conservative mold to ever become president ever again. I don't think it'll ever happen again. I think once Trump is gone, America will go down the same way as California. You know, California is essentially a one-party state. Okay, it's virtually impossible for Republicans to gain a foothold in California. It's just not going to happen because the Democrats have stacked the deck in every way possible. They dominate, and the Republicans in California don't get a look in. So you could expect the entire nation to go down that road. And if that ever happens, the America would not be the same. It will be completely different. In fact, it will be I believe that will be the time when America would turn her back on Israel. And that's when you read in Jeremiah chapter 31, where it says, where are your allies? God says to Israel, where are your allies? Your allies are no more. And so I just think it's so I believe that that's the way that it could go about. So you got Mystery Babylon the Great, and look, all the different pagan practices that ancient pagan civilizations practiced are all being practiced, right? Mm-hmm. Infanticide, pederasty, pedophilia, sex trafficking, abortion, all that stuff is all being practiced. And that was what was the pagan nations ran after. Look, the second thing, and I'll go through this really quickly, the mother of all prostitutes. Now, when you look at the word prostitute in the Old Testament, particularly the prophets, right, prostitute or harlot, in Hosea you find a spirit of prostitution or spirit of harlotry. Now, that always is referring within prophecy of a nation that once knew God, but then turned their back away from it, and they went after chased after wickedness. So, for example, it's referred to the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel in Ezekiel, Ahola and Aholibah, the two sisters. Mm-hmm. It's also referred a number of times by Isaiah. We know that Hosea talked about it. So prostitute is always referring to a nation that knew the truth, but then turned their back on it and they walked away from it. Now, within the Old Testament, only twice does it refer to the concept of prostitute being applied to a Gentile identity or a Gentile entity. And the first one was a city, right? It was applied to Nineveh, and it was also applied to Lebanon. It was applied to Lebanon. And that was when King Hiram was a righteous king. In fact, he prayed to Yahweh. He prayed to the Lord. And in fact, he was very good friends with Solomon. He sent cedar logs down to Solomon to help him to build the temple. He was a great, great king, a righteous king. And Lebanon was a righteous nation, right? But then they turned away from it and they became wicked. And that's when Isaiah says, you have returned to your old trade of prostitution. So that is unmistakable. You cannot interpret it as any other way. That's what it means. And in Revelation, it says, this woman is not just a prostitute. No, no, no. She is the mother of all prostitutes. In other words, what this saying is that this is a civilization or a nation that knew the truth so intimately. They knew the truth. And yet they spectacularly turned away from it and pursued the most wickedness. And that leads us on to the third and final thing that says the abominations of the earth. Not only did they turn away from the truth, but they pursued the abominations of the earth. So those three names, they give away the identity. And I believe it's becoming more and more clearer. I think as the years pass, it's becoming more and more clearer when you consider that. Furthermore, again, you have to look at Jeremiah 50 and 51, because I think it's quite clear. Again, I just read from Jeremiah 51 in regard to where it says Babylon was a gold cup in the Lord's hand. Right?
Right.
Think about that. And it says she made the whole earth drunk. Okay? And just think about it. I remember reading a book by Richard Wurmbrand about Karl Marx, and he talks about the proliferation of American pornography. And he wrote that book in the 1970s. And I just think that's interesting. And now, you know, America is leading the way in pornography. It's saturated the world. A tsunami of pornography has basically covered the entire world. And this is why the world has become completely sex crazy. It's just gone completely nuts. It's gone. It's become drunk. It's gone mad. And this is why we're seeing the madness exhibit around the world. You know, what's interesting too, Vincent, is that in the third world, particularly in African countries and in the Asian countries, they are laughing at the West. They're laughing at the West, and they call it the Western disease, or they call it the Western Western madness, something like that. But I think it's really interesting how they can see it. They can see how mad we've gone, but we can't. Interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And I apologize for any echoing that's going on. I'm going to make this short little point, Daniel. A lot of Christians, particularly in America today, they kind of emulate the same spirit that Jeremiah had at the beginning of the story, where God was telling him of the judgments that were going to hit the land. And he was like, why? I mean, these are your people. And he was patriotic. He loved his country. And God began to show him the dysfunction behind the scenes, like Ezekiel. Look at these men and, you know, dig into the tunnel and watch what these men are doing. The abominations that are being committed in our land and the skirt that's being just a little bit lifted up in our land are so diabolical. It should break the heart of every single one of us. Eventually, when God showed Jeremiah what was really going on, then he started to demand, yes, your justice is right. Bring it. Because he saw the depth of the depravity that was being practiced before the Lord. And this is where we are today, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. But it's also the same with Habakkuk. You know, Habakkuk went before the Lord and he complained. You know about Habakkuk's complaint. He said, Lord, there is injustice within the people of Jerusalem. They're wicked. They are abusing the widows and the orphans. And Lord, you're not doing anything about it. You're not doing anything about it. Why aren't you doing anything about it? And of course, I'm paraphrasing here, but God, I'm doing something about it. And Habakkuk's like, well, what? And Habakkuk says, I'm raising up the Babylonians. And then Habakkuk's like, the Babylonians? Are you serious? Are you kidding me? Not the Babylonians. They destroy everything they touch. They have a scorched earth policy. Not only do they destroy the people, but they destroy animals. They destroy the vegetation. They destroy the earth. They destroy everything. Lord, surely you're not going to send them. And God says, yes, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, that impetuous people that seize lands not their own. And it's interesting because you know that three times in the book of Jeremiah, God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant, in the sense that God used Babylon as an instrument of judgment to bring judgment upon his own people. So, yeah, it's interesting. And I think in the same way, you know, Vincent, I believe that God is deliberately raising up Islam to bring judgment upon the West.
So if somebody were listening right now and they heard us talking about America being Babylon, it's almost as though there are two trees in the midst of this garden. And one is fighting for nationalism. The other is fighting for globalism. The other was seeking to be conservative. And yet, even Daniel, even in the conservative movement in our country, there's fallibility, big time fallibility, like Tammy Bruce, who was on Tucker Carlson's show the other night and came out of the closet and said, I'm gay, but I'm a Republican conservative. And of course, Tucker said to her, well, you know, you have a right to be attracted to anybody you want to be attracted to. So, you know, from a Christian perspective, when you view into something like that, you think, you know, that's not what we're following either. That is flawed, terribly flawed. I mean, so anyways, the Babylon America that you're referring to would be maybe like a Joe Biden winning the election. That would be a major judgment, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's what I think. Now, listen, here's my thoughts in regard to what's going to happen within the next week. Look, I think that Trump could very well get across the line. I think he's got the numbers. I think he's got the momentum.
Absolutely.
I think he can do it. I think he can do it. And I think that especially with the revelations of the Hunter Biden's laptop, I think, I think many, many people's eyes are being opened. And with the extreme censorship that Twitter and Facebook were implementing was just off the charts. People are thinking, what's going on here? What are they trying to hide? Let me have a look at that. What is it? What's the story that they're trying to hide? And so it's like, you know, you put up a sign that says, do not look behind this curtain, right? People see that sign. What are they going to do? They're going to go and look behind the curtain. So, and that's exactly what they've done. And so it's backfired on them, and it's done two things. It's blown wide open the Hunter Biden corruption and the Joe Biden corruption. But more than that, it's exposed the totalitarian agenda of the mainstream media in trying to censor conservatives. It's exposed it wide open, and people's eyes are starting to think, whoa. I mean, is this America? I mean, these media organizations are behaving an awful lot like communist China. And that's what many people are asking. They're thinking, goodness me, you would expect this from Pravda, right? But this is happening in America. It's truly extraordinary. So I think many people's eyes are being opened. In fact, the polls are now tightening. And Trump is taking the lead. In fact, just recently I saw that actually Trump has just taken the lead in Pennsylvania. And that's huge. I think if there was ever a battleground state, it would be Pennsylvania. However, that said, the Supreme Court ruled, and of course, Chief Justice John Roberts ruled in favor of the mail-in ballots to be collected 3 days after the election day. And that's a huge win for George Soros, because if you are going to be ballot harvesting, you watch Election Day and you kind of see how many more Democrat ballots you need, mail-in ballots you need to tip the scale back into your favor. So I think there's a lot of shady stuff that's going on at the moment. Now, Project Veritas, which is kind of like an organization that exposes people and exposes organizations with James O'Keefe. He exposed some Dem operatives that through a hidden camera, who are basically openly saying that that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to be, they're all for election fraud. And they were laughing about it. And go and have a look. It's at Project Veritas where they do a big expose on them. So look, There is massive problems still in America. Even if Trump does get in, which I think he will, but I don't believe that he will get in without controversy. I believe there will be massive, massive protests and rioting. I believe huge rioting. I think the left are going to go absolutely nuts, and you're going to see Democrat cities burning, possibly even red cities, possibly even Republican cities, but we'll wait and see. But I think that there is going to be a huge uproar, and the left are not going to take it lying down. They are going to throw a tantrum like you wouldn't believe. But I think at the end of, once all that dies down, I think it'll take a while to die down. Trump will then eventually, it'll be another 4 years, and I hope he goes after the swamp. I hope he goes after the deep state. I hope he actually, I hope Bill Barr and the Durham investigation finally put people behind bars. for their crimes in regards to the Obamagate scandal and in regard to the, you know, the whole, and even the Joe Biden scandal with Burisma and all that. I hope people go to jail for that. I really do.
Well, they say 1 million high-powered people will go to prison. I think during the millennium, when Satan is locked up for 1,000 years, there'll be 1 million go to prison. I'm not so sure it's going to happen right now. Nobody knows what the next 6 days will be, but isn't this like a big horse race? And here comes T-Biscuit down the road, you know, and then there we go. Is it Seabiscuit or T-Biscuit? I forget. I think in Bugs Bunny it was T-Biscuit. It's the greatest show on earth, and yet if a nation is being held accountable, if it's a time for accountability, and all the shenanigans and all the show and all the pomp and all of the things that are going on in this horizontal human world of ours, demonically possessed human world, and Father just steps in and gives a reality check, what would that look like at this point? Would that be an Islamic attack against the United States? Would it be some how far does this go?
I think I wouldn't put it past China to try and try something. I think China might try and try something, and it could very well, it could happen in November. It could. In fact, see, China is banking on Biden to get in. They want Biden to win. Because once they get him in, they own Biden, right? Because they have all of the incriminating photos and videos on Hunter Biden's laptop. They have all of that. Rudy Giuliani confirmed this, so that the Chinese Communist government has that. Now, they basically have got – they will control Joe Biden as a result, because the evidence that the Chinese have is massively incriminating. And so they will be able to get whatever they want. They'll be able to tell America to do whatever – you know, if they tell America to stay out of the South China Sea, they will stay away. If they tell America to stay away from Taiwan while we do whatever we want, America will stay away while China retake Taiwan. You can take it to the bank. That's exactly what they'll do. In fact, Chairman Xi has actually set 2020 as the goal in which they will retake Taiwan. So they don't want to. They want to achieve that goal. That's why they're doing all these military exercises in retaking back Taiwan. See, if that happened now, Trump would not stand for it. Trump will go after him, and that's the thing that really worries Chairman Xi, because Trump is unpredictable, and that's a character trait that goes in his favor, because he has his enemies second guessing. So if Trump was out of the way and Biden was in control, China would do anything that they pleased, that they wanted, with impunity. They could even go after Australia, right? And they could even occupy Australia, and Biden, America under Biden, wouldn't do anything.
Meanwhile, Daniel, while all this is taking place, Irvine, California, Orange County, hundreds of thousands of people evacuating the fires, another hurricane coming towards New Orleans, very late in the season for all these things. A warfare breaks out again in Philadelphia, unrest. Aren't these all biblical signs of the times that Christians should be viewing from a distance? We're in it, but we're not of it. We use it, but we don't abuse it. Isn't this a time where Christians ought to be paying very special attention? And, you know, rather than sitting as an observer in the decks and going, is my horse going to win or is their horse going to win? Aren't all the signs cumulative, telling us something? Or should we just be kind of lollygagging around, ignoring the signs, do what we're always doing? What is God saying to the church right now?
Gosh, I think all the signs are quite clear. And I think all the signs are indicating that we are in the last days. Now, listen, there's three big indicators. Number one happened it happened 75 years ago on the 14th of May in 1948. That was the big one, the fact that the nation of Israel now exists. And that the generation of the Jewish people, remember when Jesus taught the Olivet Discourse, he was talking to two generations, right? Two generations. He was talking to the generation of that particular time in regard to the signs that they were to expect with the destruction of the temple, but he was also talking to another generation, right? And this is the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Zion. This is the future generation of Jewish, of the Jewish people, when they will be born into the land. And that's what happened on the 14th of May in 1948, when the nation of Israel was reborn. You find that scripture, that incredible scripture that you read in Isaiah 66, where it says, who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Can a nation be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor does she give birth to her children. And you know, it's interesting because, again, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. You know, in the days of Noah, before it first started raining, there was a man, a very old man, and his name was Methuselah. And in Hebrew, Methuselah's name means when he dies, it will happen. When he dies, it will happen. And when Methuselah died, that's when the rain began to fall in regard to that. See, Methuselah was the last of that generation at that particular time. So it will be in the times that we're living in now. The generation that was born around 1948 in Israel, I mean, God can keep them alive for as long as he wants, you know, because he's patient, right? He's patient. He's long-suffering. But at the end of the day, the final generation will not die until God carries out what he's going to carry out. The second thing is that we know is that of the days of Noah. I mean, gosh, everything that Jesus talked about, when you look at our society at the moment, I mean, look at the description of the civilization, the generation of Noah. It says that violence filled the earth, and that wickedness, the thoughts of man was wicked all the time. That's incredible. That's really, really interesting. And so he also said, it shall be just like it was as in the days of Lot as well. So we are seeing this. And again, Jesus also said there will be an increase of wickedness. That's exactly what we're seeing. And the other big sign is what we read in Daniel, where it says many will go to and fro and will increase in knowledge. We've seen an explosion of knowledge and the going to and fro. I mean, we're living in a global village. You know, this is why I'm able to, you know, when I don't have any international bans upon my country, that's why I'm able to get on the plane and go to different countries and preach the gospel, because it's easy. We live in a time of travel convenience. But more than that, we just from this little phone here, from this phone, I can access all the information I ever want at my fingertips, right? Daniel said that would be another, you know, big sign of the time that we're living in. And so when you consider all those things, and then when you consider all the clues that Jesus talked about in the Olivet Discourse, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, you know, he talked about all those different things. In Luke 21, he talks about pestilence. Again, Jesus said, when you see all these things, you know that the time is near. And we sing all those things.
And so much more. Well said. In about 90 seconds, Blog Talk Radio is going to stop. And Daniel, what I'd like to do is, if there's anybody out there in Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio, Facebook, YouTube that has any questions, I want to give opportunity for them to weigh in on it. But I think you just nailed it. And I believe with all of my heart that the message to the Christian church is wake up, be salt and be light. And I think a lot of that is being lost, quite frankly. And I think we're getting into a very serious time and a very hurtful time and a very grievous time, if I'm discerning properly. I believe that we're going to see a lot of pain. And I believe that we're going to see things around us that are going to break the heart. And I think a lot of people that are not really rooted and grounded in the love of God and the gospel and built their lives on the gospel are going to be swept away by the flood that is coming. A woman, someone said it last night, had a vision, and it sounded very real, but you don't take too much stock, like you and I know, in visions and dreams. If I were to do that, I'd know Joe Biden's going to win. But I'm not going to put all my stock in a dream. But this woman was taken up into space with a mountain kind of rock in the hand, and he hurled it towards the earth. and the earth was filled with dead bodies. It was a comet. It was a meteorite that God was going to release as a sign of his judgment, not what men could do. We're very close, and people need to wake up and draw very near to the Lord. Amen?
Amen to that.
Final word, brother, before we go.
Listen, we don't know how much time that we've got, but we do know that we need to be ready. You know, and this is what we find, especially in Mark 13. Jesus emphasizes, watch, watch, watch. Keep your eyes opened. You know, don't fall asleep. And this is what Jesus talked about in Luke 21. He says, watch out, or you'll be overtaken by drunkenness, dissipation, carousing drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close in on you like a trap. So we need to stay awake. You know, and it's going to be a challenge because it's going to be very, very easy, particularly because of the carnal nature of the flesh. The flesh just wants to sleep. You remember the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that Jesus was betrayed. They found it very difficult to stay awake. And so we need to be observant as much as we possibly can. Peter says, be sober-minded so that you may be able to pray. And that's exactly what we need to do.
Wow, very good. And I know for you, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're probably ready for a little nap. And so we need to release you to go into that. And as always, Brother Daniel, exceptional, well done, well thought out, well prepared. God bless you on all of your Bible studies. Real quick, if somebody wants to tune into one of your Bible studies online, how do they do that?
Okay, so add me as a friend on Facebook. I actually put up a little thing on the study that we're doing this week, which actually is on the Psalms and the end of the age. So we're looking at part two on that. So we're looking at how the Psalms talk about eschatology. And it's fascinating, really, really interesting. So if you're interested in that, add me as a friend on Facebook, and hopefully you're mutual friends with Vincent. Otherwise, I might not add you or with some of my other friends. That would help. And be a part of it because I think many of you will find it really, really interesting. And so,
it's good, solid Bible study. So look up Daniel Seckham. Yeah. He has the live Bible studies on Zoom. You could listen, you could tune in, you could be part of it. And Daniel, I wish you the very best in the next couple of days. Next time we talk, it will be the day after the election, which is in 6 days.
It will be.
That should be an amazing conversation. I hope you'll stay awake for that and give us another 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. conversation. God bless you, my brother. And shalom to you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Seckham. Now, what I wanted to do is check my microphone right now. And now that Daniel is not on the other side of this, I'm just wondering if we are coming through without the echo. And I didn't know if it was on my side or maybe something on his side because I wanted his microphone to be turned up because he had the message today. And I wanted that to really go forward. So if anybody is out there that could weigh in on that for just a moment, are we coming through loud and clear without an echo at this moment? And I believe we are. I'm not hearing an echo myself. And to our friends out there, I want to get to some of the comments that were made today. I thought they were very good. So let me just say good morning to Dennis and Sally. Denny and Sally were saying good morning, and they were saying hello to the mate. Let me see what's going on here in area 479-787. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. 479-787. Are you there? Hello? Are you there? All right. Nobody was there, but we got a little hang-up call. And so just a quick hello to Laquita this morning and Donna Frazier. Good morning to you. And then Danny Gonzalez, dear friend from Indiana. God bless you and your family. Danny, it was good seeing you on here today. Sister Cindy, God bless you. And Kathy Bruns was saying it's really cold. Winter's there to stay in South Dakota. Roy and Julie, I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Jim Boltemeyer, also, God bless you, sir. Thanks for tuning in. And we have Pastor Kevin Honeycutt was with us today. God bless you, Pastor. Trust you're doing very well. It's good to hear from you. Can't wait to have you with us again. Again, David Ellison was with us. God bless you, David. And then Silver Cyclone 71, good morning to you. And thank you for your comments on today's broadcast as well. And looks like we're doing okay. So we have a loud and clear, no more feedback. All right, so that may have been coming from Daniel's microphone. Not sure how that works, but we will be back tomorrow, and we'll look forward to spending some time together and having a prepared time by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to say thank you to my sister Gayla from New York, who sent a donation to the ministry. I want to thank everybody for supporting this ministry with your prayers, with your love, and with your financial giving. God bless you. We thank God for you, and may the Lord bless you, multiply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. I'm Vincent Xavier. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Have a wonderful Wednesday. We're going to be at Bible study tonight. Got a great day ahead, and it is cold here in Northwest Arkansas. We went from 82 degrees on Thursday, and it is now in the low 30s. Mamma mia. Good night, everybody. Oh, Gayla, thanks for saying hello back. It was your honor. God bless you. It was our honor to receive your gift. All right, I think we're done. I think we're done for the day. I think I figured something out. We love you guys. God bless you. Stay tuned. Lots to do out there. But remember, Social Dilemma. If you have not yet seen Social Dilemma, make sure you watch it. The unfortunate thing is you could only watch it on Netflix. It'll tell you all about these little guys and what is happening to us, the distraction of the digital reality around us and technology today. Talk about getting caught in a snare and in a trap. We're going to have to be awakened to some realities. Social Dilemma will help us to stir, no doubt about it. We'll talk more about that later on as we go. And I guess for right now, folks, God bless. There is a roundtable discussion on omegaradio.org, omegaradio.org. Patricia Joy Xavier, my beloved wife, she wrote a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And there was a community of believers around the roundtable. They discuss issues on deliverance, setting the captives free, spiritual warfare. That's happening right now on omegaradio.org. I hope you go there and have a super blessed day. Until tomorrow, shalom.